gay-ass name for a gay-ass podcast.
My friend Rich Burns is here on That's a Gay-Ass Podcast to discuss, yes, The Disappointment Season 2, premiering March 22nd. They're re-releasing Season 1, and it is such a good show about gay guys dealing with midlife. Rich Burns, it is so good to see you, and you look hot as hell as ever.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Eric. It's good to be here. It's good to see you. You always look handsome.
Thank you. You're too kind. Well, people might not know that we have been on camera together. You did Confession Hole, my Glory Hole talk show, which is actually, I don't know if I've told you this, we're premiering season two later this month. So
that is great.
Look,
it was
at
so
us.
Much fun.
You killed it. And by the way, if anybody wants to hear me ask Rich even more disgusting questions than I will ask at the end of this episode, all the Confession Hole episodes are over on Substack in full uncut glory. But Rich, I want to open this interview with a really easy question. You work out a lot. What are you running from?
Oh, God, my past, my future, my present.
I do enjoy the videos that you post online of you working out. It is inspiring. And for anybody who doesn't follow Rich, the content's good.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. You know, I work out for my head. This head. Just, you know, mentally, it helps me. If I get up in the morning early, go to the gym, I have a much better day than if I don't do it. Like, I actually didn't do it today because I had some work to do.
So right now you're feeling horrible?
Yeah, I feel kind of crappy. No, I did a whole bunch of push-ups before this. No, I didn't. it really helps the mindset for me. It sets the day off on the right note. And if there is some benefits that, you know, some physical things that happen that are a positive, that's just a plus.
No, I too am starting to discover that I feel better physically when I work out. I've been avoiding exercise my entire life, and only in the past month or two have I started to work out. I'm like, fuck, they were not lying. And my tits are getting bigger, and that is the dream. That's my dream.
In a month.
Yeah, do you doubt that, Rich?
No. I was saying that's good. That just goes to show what you can do. So I think that's a good thing.
Oh, the things you can twink.
So you were not into the whole gym scene for how old are you? You're in your 30s?
It's really invasive. No, I'm 36 years old. I had a terrible time.
If I had pearls, I'd clutch them.
Why? Because I'm ancient?
No. Yeah, you are ancient. What am I, twice your age? Continue.
You're not twice my... Well, you clearly are a himbo because you can't do math, and that's okay. Because you are, what, 60?
Yesterday. Thursday was my birthday. I turned 64.
Happy belated birthday, Rich Burns. 64.
Thank you.
I'm so excited to talk to you about so many things because The Disappointments is a really great show. It actually harkens back to a lot of series that I loved when I was first coming out. I don't know if you ever watched The Outs. The Outs was like a really big queer series that was shot in New York. And I like went to a screening of it when I was probably like 21, 22. And to see a show like yours that is clearly, you've put so much work into it and heart. And the story is really speaking to a community of people that I don't think have that much content about them, about like middle-aged gay men who are experiencing what, you know, some might call a midlife crisis. But before we get into maybe if you've had a midlife crisis, maybe about some of your sex life and dating life as a gay man in your 60s, I do want to ask you the famous gay-ass podcast question, Rich Burns, which is, whose fault is it that you're gay? Who do we blame even, babe?
Oh, God, there's so many people I blame. I would say I didn't know I was gay, but my first, in looking back, attraction to a man was when I was a kid, and this, I've already said I'm 64, I was about to say this was going to date me. I am 64. I think it was repeats of Bonanza. Do you remember that? You know that Western show?
I don't.
Okay. Michael Landon was the youngest son in Bonanza. And it was a Western. And it was, you know, it was good, healthy, basic family values crap. But when it wasn't offensive. Like the Waltons was out at the same time.
And sure.
So there was a guy on the show, his character's name is Adam. His name, Purnell Roberts was his name. So I'm a little kid, like 7 years old, and I couldn't take my eyes off this man with black hair, sort of like you with the scruff, you know, looked very masculine, and the most piercing blue eyes. And that was my first memory of like, why am I staring at this man?
And you said you were 7 years old.
I was seven. Yeah.
I mean, listen, when you know, you know. Can you paint a picture? Where geographically was 7 year old Rich Burns?
This was in a medium sized town in Connecticut, near New York City. And to be more specific, I was down in the basement where the TV was on the couch watching the show. Hands up in the air, like, you know, nothing going on, not any business because I was too young for that. But yeah, every time that he came on the screen, I would just kind of lean forward a little bit.
So if we go from then 7 years old, Rich Burns in the basement watching Bonanza, your first time kissing a guy, were you still in Connecticut? Did you wait to move to the big city? Do you remember what happened during your first boy-boy kiss?
You know, yeah, the first boy-boy kiss, I was a late bloomer somewhat. It was in college and I was visiting a girlfriend, not my girlfriend, in her college somewhere in Long Island. And she had a friend who she brought along. And at some point she went off on her own and we were talking and he just sort of pulled me in for a kiss. And I was like horrified and turned on all at the same time.
Wow. Cause you were not out at this point.
I had no idea. Like, well, I was in such denial. I had no idea. If you know what I mean by that. It's like, I built such a wall.
I mean, that makes sense, though, to feel like the feelings of being horrified but also turned on. I feel like that's probably what a lot of us felt for many of our first. I mean, even like the first time I watched gay porn, for example, horrified. The first time I would watch guys, it was like, you know, downloading on LimeWire or whatever the fuck it was. But I first told myself, I'm not watching gay porn. I'm watching guys jerk off because I'm learning how to jerk off. This is an education.
Wow.
And that was my denial. But I would feel horrified with myself after I did it. And then, you know, finally years later came out and was still horrified with myself, but learned more and more to accept. And now look at us being horny gay guys on a podcast.
The matter of being horrified at yourself, that remains sometimes. But I mean, I've been in relationships where I'm both horrified and turned on still to this day. You know, can't believe I'm doing that, but you're so hot.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, I think once the paywall goes up, when we do an extended version of this at the end, I'll ask what some of the most horrifying things you've done that you've walked out of and said, I only did that because he is hot. Well, I have to say that you have a really unique perspective to be a creator that has put all this work into a show as well done as The Disappointments. But since it is about gay men in their midlife, would you say that you have experienced a midlife crisis? Are you waiting for it to happen? What's the deal?
I have a different sort of vantage point in that I feel like I never stopped being in crisis. So who needs a midlife crisis when it's always been sort of a crisis? Like
constant.
I work at stuff, but it just always seems like something's up in life in general. And
yeah,
the numbers don't bother me so much. So like, I think a lot of people get triggered by like, there's a, you know, they're going to hit 60 and that means something to them. I will say now 64 did kind of make me sort of jerk to a stop and go, oh wow, I'm only 6 years away from 70. And that seems, you know, old. I mean, 70 is the new 50.
I know they do keep saying that. In 20 years, 90 is the new 30 because we're going to be living to 150.
Well, and we'll have our faces so pulled and so much injections done. And
yeah, you don't have any injections, do you? You seem to be aging beautifully.
No, this is
naturally.
I had a conversation with a friend the other day who has Botox parties, and he's invited me a few times, and I've never done it. He's urged me to. You know, I think it's more of a strong, what's it called? Tough love. It's tough love.
It's also very LA love. You need to go to my Botox party. Trust me.
Oh God, what is the name of the actress? I can see her face. It's going to do
Pamela Anderson.
No, exactly. No, she's married to one of the Coen brothers.
Oh,
she is she's famous for not giving a shit about getting older. Her name, I'll blurt out her name in the middle of another part of our conversation.
Frances McDormand.
Or Frances McDormand. There we go. So I admire her because she doesn't care. She doesn't really wear a lot of makeup. She's never had any work done. And, you know, I see guys my age who have, you know, all the injections and all, you know, filler and everything. And I just think it doesn't look real. And it's only something you see in Los Angeles and maybe New York City. This is real 64 with a semi-healthy lifestyle, and I'm comfortable with it.
Okay, wait. As a gay journalist, you said semi-healthy. What's the least healthy part of your existence? Please normalize Rich Burns to me.
I without going into much in the way of details, it's not as if I've never done any drugs.
Oh, sure.
I don't do a lot of drugs at all. In fact, usually I turn them down. Like, not because I'm against them. It's just like, I just don't need it in the moment.
Yeah. No, we talk a bit about drugs in this podcast because I am a late bloomer in other, like, I mean, I guess I came out relatively young, 18 when I came out. First time kissing a boy was like in college, first year of college. But like, I got married pretty young, but I've had very little experience with drugs. And so I think that it's okay to talk about because, like, as long as you're coming from like what you're saying, it's a very healthy sort of balanced place. Obviously, people with addictive personalities or family history, right, got to be very careful. But like, I do think that people for centuries have been doing things that are either natural or unnatural. But I feel like it maybe gives us a full experience to see the world through different eyes. Like mushrooms, come on. I'm glad that I've done mushrooms.
Yeah. It expands your vision, your horizon. Like, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with a lot of drugs if they're used in moderation. I do see a lot of people and, you know, friends who they're addicts. They would never admit to being so. And I've seen their lives like kind of go downhill. Their looks, they lose their looks. They lose their drive to do the thing that they were passionate about.
What's your relationship to weed? Since we'll go to a legal drug, because I'm dealing with my own like questioning of my relationship with weed. Are you into the THC of it all?
Not in any like regular use. If I'm with a friend who dips into that every once in a while, I'll say yes. I have a friend who smokes a lot of pot. And he's always offering me some. And sometimes I say yes, because I know the stuff that he gets gives me the right kind of high. But ultimately, it takes so little. Because my experience growing up, like when I was a kid in high school, a lot of kids were smoked pot and I would try it. And it was the kind that made you so paranoid. And it put me off. And so to find out that there's pot that can make you kind of just a little giddy and
That's my favorite kind. I enjoy it because it sometimes makes me feel like I'm accessing like my higher vibration. I'm like, I'm more creative. I can be sillier. I can be less paranoid and less stressed. But there are, of course, times where I'm like, no, this is making everything worse. I'm at this dinner party thinking everything I'm saying should be a jailable offense.
That's a key for me is I can't be in a situation with an altered state. Like, I don't like that. Like I have another friend who's like given me a K lozenge
So are you saying like ketamine? Okay.
Ketamine for medicinal purposes. I can say it's a very interesting sensation. I'm sure people who are watching your podcast, many of them are familiar with it. Many are perhaps too familiar with it. But I've done it twice with him in public, like, you know, in a party situation. And I said, no, never again, because need to have a certain sense of groundedness to have a conversation with another person. And if I'm super high, I'm just kind of zoning out and feeling a little weird about it, you know?
That's a good point, because you want it to add to your experience of socializing or life, and if it makes it worse,
that's great.
And that's probably what I'm trying to question is, like, a lot of nights right now I'm smoking weed really between the hours of like 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. because that's where I feel like a lot of the stress of the day coming up. By the time this episode comes out, I will have done my first week of this tour, but this tour has been like, testing a lot of my like emotional strength of doing something that scares me. And so a lot of
I have my tickets, by the way. I have my LA tickets for your tour. I
got to the LA show, Rich.
I'm coming to the LA show.
I can't wait to see you there. It's March 30th, and Rich Burns will be there in the flesh, and you can see those perky, hairy tits in person. I will
That's
be
right.
having
I'll be
you
coming
get on
to your
stage.
Show shirtless.
Yes, exactly. We'll be having you. No, you know what, though? Speaking of Rich shirtless, if I may bring up your leather looks you have posted, this is, I guess, it's kind of a horny question, but I'm intrigued by your relationship to leather. Has this been something that has been a recent passion? Has it been a lifelong thing? What is your history with the leather experience?
Well, I mean, I've always liked leather. Like, I've seen leather on people and thought it was attractive or appealing. I've never really myself had leather until a couple of years ago. I started getting into it. What I realize is that I like the look. I oftentimes like the people and the conversations that come out because there's a community around it.
Yeah.
I don't take it as far as some people. Like I don't identify as a leather man. I'm more like, hey, I'm in the mood for this and I'll put this on, as opposed to like, I live by some kind of leather credo.
No, I was at a thrift store yesterday and I saw a pair of leather pants and I did feel them call me. I did wonder.
Do they fit? Do you try them on?
I'm not going to call the name out of this place because they do good work, but thrift stores that don't have dressing rooms, I think should be penalized by the government. What are we doing here? I'm not buying a pair of pants without trying them on, and I'm not taking my pants off in the aisle. I took my shirt off about 10 times in this thrift store yesterday. I'm trying to find clothes for the tour, and so the answer is no, I did not buy the leather pants because I will not buy pants without trying them on. But I one day will wear a leather look, and maybe we'll be
do
at the party
pieces?
Together. I have nothing.
Do you have no? I could see you easily in a vest or a good bulldog kind of harness.
Sign me up. Yeah, maybe you'll be my leather.
See, if this podcast was in person, I could have brought that with me and we could have a dress up session right now.
We're going to have to do a sequel because I'm actually a lot of people have been asking me. The podcast is going through a bit of a transformation, and in all full transparency, I'm going to be launching a new version of this podcast that will be filming in person. And so, Rich Burns, let's do that. Let's do a leather.
I would love that.
Let's record it wearing leather.
There you go. All right. I'll do it.
Okay. Done and done. As we get more, though, into this idea of the disappointments, I want to ask you about, sure, we've talked about the leather stuff, the midlife crisis, but I want to talk about like the social life of a gay man in his 60s. The show really is, of course, following your character, but at its core, it's about friendship. Would you say that your friendships that you have now are people that you've been close with for decades? Have you found a chosen family that has really been something recent? Because I'm still finding my chosen family here in LA. I've been here for 4 years. And so I'm curious if you have sort of any insight as to what your experience has been socially and with chosen family.
Well, just to touch on your point, 4 years, it took me about, I would meet people when I first moved to LA, like right off the start. And it's usually the people that I met right away were sort of the gadflies or the social butterflies who, like, they see somebody new and they want to bring you in, but then there's kind of, basically, there feels like there's no depth there. It took me about 5 or 6 years before I started meeting the people that are still in my life, like the ones who really, yeah. I don't know if everyone has that same experience, but it was mine. And I've heard other people sort of confirm that.
Yeah. So you moved to LA, first 4 or 5 years, you're meeting a lot of people, but the ones that stick around are the ones that are a few years after that. Those friends you've had for a long time, are there any people in your life that have you been surprised to find really deep relationships of people that you've only met in the last couple of years? Or
yes.
Do you feel like you're sticking with the people that you've been with for forever?
No, I'm always open to meeting new people, making new friends, time being the only possible constriction to that. It was a year ago this summer. So like a year and a half ago, I met a guy who is younger than me. He's super hot. Just because of the way I see myself as being like this older guy and sort of a very somewhat conservative, he's out there and very, very social. And we just clicked and we're really good friends. And sometimes I just look at him and go, wow, how are we friends? This sort of makes no sense. But I think that, well, I can't speak for him, so I don't know what he gets from me. But I do know that he's one of these rare people, an LA person who asks questions, you know, like wants to know how you're doing and he's sincere about it. You get into a real conversation and it's not superficial. It's not talking about the, you know, the latest, I don't know, pop album out by some diva or whatever. Like, that's great. You can absolutely talk about those things, but we talk about world issues, things affecting life.
Well, you did mention that when you first became friends with him, that you said he was super hot. So I'm going to have to ask the question, did it start physical and then become deep friendship? Is it friendship with a continued physicality? You haven't given us his name, so I don't feel bad asking this question.
His name is Betty.
Betty.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
Yeah. It got physical. It wasn't physical right at the start. It got physical. And I think we both realized that it was getting physical and we really loved each other. And we were both in sort of the same place, like, and this may sound kind of weird, but we didn't want to risk the friendship.
No, I get that.
The physical. And from my experience being an older guy, getting involved with somebody younger, there tends to be like a real issue, a real like interest in like, you know, finding a daddy for a younger guy. You know, they want to be with a daddy, but the attention span and they just lose interest after a while. There's a fantasy and I don't know how many people actually fulfill that fantasy because basically we are you just older,
right?
You know, like we've talked about this in our other conversation about like, I hate being called daddy. Cause it's this whole thing of like, you're putting on me your template of this fantasy that you think I am. And when you discover I'm not that, you're disappointed. And I'm bored right from the start because I feel like you have no imagination.
Say that, Rich. I think it's also pointing to something that I discovered, and I think most people discover, which is that our parents are human beings. And just like a twink is projecting onto a daddy, that the daddy is going to fix their problems or fulfill something or fill some void in their life. Once I realized that my parents are people who, you know, are trying just as hard as I am to figure life out, it's kind of the same thing with daddies, right? It's like, I like how you said that. It's like, you are just me, but older. Like it's not like I'm always in crisis too. We're all in crisis. Everyone's in crisis.
Exactly. You know, some people may look like they've got their shit together better than others, but spend a deeper 5 minutes with them and you'll find out they got their stuff too.
Yeah. Well, I think it's great though, that you had that conversation with your friend to be like, let's preserve the friendship. And did you make the decision then to stop the physical part of your relationship?
The physical kind of stopped by itself and then we addressed that.
I see.
It's like the physical just sort of went away and then we both acknowledged why it went away. you know, I mean, he's, like I said, he's beautiful. The attraction is still there, but there's an understanding like we work really well this way.
Yeah. But it's interesting to me that you kind of self-describe yourself as a conservative person. And I think it's interesting because you are from Connecticut, which I picture like, you know, waspy people who can't talk about their emotions. But you've grown into someone who is very much in touch with how you feel, and you're an artist and an actor and a writer. Is this a Rich Burns 2.0 that did therapy to be able to talk about his feelings? Do you come from a repressed world that you had to break free of? How did that happen?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's, you know, it's a Catholic family in Connecticut. That's two strikes right there. It was, I think what I'm grateful for is actually the fact that I'm gay, because it was my struggle with my homosexuality that got me into therapy while I was in college. And that began a whole thing of basically getting to the point, I think this is the big thing, is getting to the point where you start questioning your own thoughts. Not doubting, but like, why do I think what I think? Why did I, you know, you're carrying around like this dialogue in your head about how you're angry about somebody for doing something. And it's always good to be able to step back and look at that conversation, because once you're out, when you're in it, you're so in it, you can't see anything else. But when you step back, you get a whole different perspective. And I feel that therapy early on in my life introduced that kind of critical thinking to me. So that helped immensely. Like, I will spiral. I will like have obsessive thoughts about things. And at some point, a voice will come in and say, hey, you're having this obsessive thought. What is this? And I look at it and suddenly everything stops. All the craziness stops.
Yeah. It's like really you were learning how to zoom out. That's it's funny. Like you've got the Catholic thing. Yeah. You have the Catholic thing. I've got the Jewish thing. It's like different versions of spiraling. I do find it though, like that Catholics had to confess their sins to a man on the other side of a screen. That to me would make anybody spiral about doing anything wrong. Did you have to confess growing up?
Yeah, I hated it. I made it up. First of all, I don't feel like I sinned. So I would go in there and be like, forgive me, Father, I have sinned. I swore 6 times in the last 3 weeks. And he'd tell me to say like, okay, say 4 Hail Marys and 1 Our Father. And I'd be like, okay. And I'd leave.
Have you done any actual sins recently that you want to confess to me?
Well, it depends on how you actually define sin. Because sexually, no.
I don't define anything sexually as sin unless you're breaking a law or doing something without consent or, you know, whatever. But like, I think more, I guess that's actually a good question. What is a sin? To me, a sin would be like accidentally disrespecting someone or being really hangry and then being rude to a service person. You know, like to me, those are sins.
Yeah. Well, like, yes. I mean, I think I don't believe in Catholic sins at all. And I think the concept of sins in general, I think there are, have I been inconsiderate to somebody? Have I been purposefully hurtful to somebody? Those kinds of things are the to me the sins.
Oh, I can do one. I have a sin. I have a sin that I felt really bad about. So
okay, hold on. So okay.
Thank you. I've been crossed.
Tell me what your sins are, my son.
Well, daddy or father, whatever. All right, you don't like daddy, sorry. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. I went to a restaurant with my husband to celebrate that he just got a new job. And I, yes, had smoked a little weed, which gives some excuse for my actions. But the server came over and I asked for a to-go box. And Matt was still waiting for a drink and not finished eating. And I rushed him to finish his meal during his celebration for getting a new job. And I felt like really, really bad, Rich.
Did you speak to him about it? Did you?
I did. I said, I'm so sorry. I had no idea. And then they came over and they had us pay for the meal while Matt was waiting for his drink. And then like we had a gift card to the restaurant. And they couldn't figure out the gift card. So it was like a like 10-minute ordeal. While I had like prematurely ended our dinner, I really did feel bad. I really did.
Well, you know, yes, that is sort of, that's inconsiderate. And, but you owned up to it. You spoke to
me. I did.
That, so.
Yeah. No, I do have the ability to realize that I'm the problem. I think, yeah.
Is it me?
Yeah. And it is a lot of the time. Yeah. So that was my sin. And if any of yours come up, feel free to confess to me, the rabbi. While you're thinking on that, though, I want to get us into a couple of quickfire questions before we head on over to Substack for an extended spicy conversation. Rich Burns, you are in your 60s, but you're dating. Is your dating life different as a man in his 60s than it was in your 20s, 30s, 40s?
You know, that's I'm probably not the ideal candidate for that question because I was always kind of like, I'm happy sitting here with my dog. So I still feel that way.
Still that way. Okay.
I'm still that way. Like, I mean, I don't go out of my way to date. If I meet somebody, we click. I will, of course, dive into it, but I don't feel the need to find someone. You know, somebody would say, "Well, that's why you're single," but I also don't find anything wrong with the fact that I'm single.
You enjoy independence, is what it sounds like.
Well, and I've got my chosen family of friends who I love, who love me. I've got my interests that take up so much of my energy and time. No, I mean, the only thing is I feel like when I was younger, I was always attracted to older men. I'm now that age, and I'm still attracted to men my age if they're fit. However, they're all interested in younger guys. So that's also kind of – and I have dated younger guys mostly by just the fact that that's all that comes my way. And it's not – there's nothing wrong with it, but it – you know – there is a difference in life experience, both just pop culture references. Like, you know, I mentioned Bonanza to you. You're like, and you could probably name some artist, some recording artist who's hot right now. And I would not know who you're talking about.
Okay. Let's try it, Rich. How do you feel about, Zara Larsson?
Who?
Yeah, remember? Tell me, what's the name of that song by Zara Larsson that you told me you really liked? What's that title?
My Hair is Ratchet.
Ratchet? My Hair is Ratchet by Zara Larsson.
And my hair is ratchet, and it's really, really ratchet, and I need to comb in my hair.
Yeah, I love
that. Is she country? Is she country?
No.
That's not a country to me.
Well, drag me. She's not country. She's not.
But this is my point. And now I'm also 1,000% open to learning. You know, like I have a whole collection. I was dating a guy, made this whole list of classic movies for us to watch. And we got through some of them and then we broke up. not because of the movies.
He hated Casablanca that much.
Don't play it again, Sam.
Well done. Well done. That's the thing is I'm actually sort of bored by the like idea of an age gap relationship, if it's okay or not. I do though find it interesting. The cultural references can be difficult. I think the emotional maturity can be difficult, but also like you're saying, Rich, people at your age or my age can all act 14. You know, it's like it really, the emotional maturity and intelligence is something that a lot of people can learn, but a lot of people also decide not to move past their senior year of high school emotional intelligence. You skirted over the fact that you have a dog, that you have a dog with a name that I think is iconic. Will you tell the listeners what your dog's name is?
Kevin.
I think Kevin for a dog is a gorgeous name. I love dogs that have human names.
Yeah. And it's one of those human names that like has no business being an animal's name. Cause it's
exactly
like, some are just, yes.
Kevin, get over here. You know what it is? Actually, I'm realizing why I like it so much is because you can speak to the dog in a way you would never speak to a human. But if you're calling it a human name, it feels like you're yelling at a human. And there's probably something internally that feels good about Kevin. I swear to God, like I would never say that to Matt. I would never speak to a human that way.
You wouldn't use unfortunately, that tone.
No, to a like, oh, yeah, with my dog, Freddy. I would never speak to a human the way, and I love Freddie with all of my heart. He's my child. He's my baby, but I'm firm. I'm a tough parent.
And sometimes he needs a little scolding.
And sometimes he's
not Kevin. Kevin's an angel. He's a good boy. But you know, you brought up the thing about the age difference and it's something just popped into my head. I recently, there was a little publicity blurb in, God, I think it was Queerty did it, if I'm not mistaken. And it was, somebody commented about the age difference between the two characters and said, between my character and the character of Dwight. And basically what they're saying, stop normalizing younger, older relationships because of the power dynamic. And it's wrong. And it's, and the funny thing is like, if this, I'm just going to refer to this person as an idiot, because anyone who speaks from ignorance is an idiot. They've not seen the show, so they don't know that that's not actually the dynamic. Yes, it's a younger guy and an older guy, but the younger guy has the power because he has the money and the older guy is broke. And so he's got to like listen to what the younger guy says, which was part of my interest in, among other reasons, to doing the show in the first place, is because I wanted to play with that dynamic.
Yeah, well, I think it puts the whole age gap thing on its head a little bit, because like we're saying, age is not inherently meaning you have figured everything out. I also think that people get very keyboard warrior like when it comes to age gap or yes. open relationships. I have an episode of this podcast with the co-host of Dads and Daddies, a really great podcast in New York, and I'm every single day getting comments on a reel where we're talking about open relationships, and every day I have a notification from someone saying how we are depraved and how disgusting it is, and it's just like, I understand.
Are these gay people?
I think, yeah, a lot of them are gay guys, which I think is just a testament to how strong the messages were that we were taught growing up, how strong heteronormativity, how strong the patriarchy is. It's all based in the shame that we were taught as you need to be able to fit into regular society to survive. Like, I think that's what it's coming from. I think that's why my body reacts the way it does, and I'm doing something that I'm afraid of. My body reacts like I'm being attacked. I'm going to die. I'm going to be ostracized from my entire network. Like, this tour has brought up all of those feelings in me, and it's partly why I smoke weed. But I think open relationships, for whatever reason, make some gay people and straight people feel like civilization will crumble if people are in open relationships.
Well, it goes back to what you said too about keyboard warriors. I think that I hate the word triggered so much, but it's the word people use. People get triggered by something you say, they're going to be on there. Shh.
Yep.
Somebody saw another person who, an idiot who has, again, coming from ignorance, says he doesn't want to watch another show. It had a picture of me shirtless. Doesn't want to watch another show that's all about these unrealistic body types that, we're putting forth and we're making people feel bad about themselves. I'm not an unrealistic body type. I work out, and I also have a full life, and it's just something that I focus on. Number one, and number two, that's not what the show's about. We could have had a picture up of all the other cast members, other than the guy who plays my boyfriend, and they would see body types that maybe they would identify with more. So watch the effing show before you say something, you dumb F.
I love that you're censoring yourself by saying dumb F. I also think that people are projecting onto you a certain self-image that you don't have. Because when you did Confession Hole, and when I've talked to you in general, like, you are very much a human being with very human, self-conscious feelings about yourself. The thing that happens, I think, when either you see someone who has worked out or you see somebody who is successful in Hollywood or has money, is you assume that they have no problems and they think that they are better than everybody else. But you're not someone who works out saying, and now I have this body and I'm better than you. You're like, no, I'm actually working out because it makes me feel better, and I still have the same insecurities and blah 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 that any human being has. It doesn't take away from your humanity to have big tits and big arms.
No, it doesn't take away from it either if you don't have those things. It's like, it's just a body, for God's sakes, and like, get over it.
Get over it. I
have a terrible, oftentimes have a terrible diet, which is another reason why I work out, because I try to compensate for the fact that, you know, this is a birthday week. I'm having cake every goddamn night.
Good. I'm a sugar addict myself, and I very much support sugar and weed, baby. We are going to head over to our extended version of the episode, where I'm going to ask some really spicy, horny questions. Before we do so, though, Rich Burns, will you tell these gorgeous followers not only where to follow you, but how they can check out the re-release of season one and season two of your delicious show?
Absolutely. And yes, please check them both out, because season one is, we've taken the original version of the series, which was 11 short episodes, and put them back together with how I have originally envisioned them, which is 5 full-length episodes, and put back in them deleted scenes and extended moments. So it's a completely different experience. And that is led, that the point of that is to lead right up to season 2, which is also all full-length episodes. And it's so much better. I'm very proud of season 1. Season 2 is huge. It's so good.
Mm.
I think people are really going to laugh and enjoy it. And also they'll have feels. But it's all on YouTube, our YouTube channel. So if you search for The Disappointments TV, because you'll if you do disappointments, let me tell you, YouTube is full of disappointments. But Disappointments TV, you'll find our show.
All right. Well, we've linked The Disappointments TV, the YouTube channel. I've linked Rich's Instagram, which is very much worth a follow. And
hey, Rich Ray.
Hey, Rich Ray on IG. Come on over to Substack, my friends. I'm going to ask Rich about his most recent sluttery and more. But in the meantime, Rich, stay gay, stay fabulous, and thanks for being here.
That's a gay-ass name for a gay-ass podcast.